Welcome back to Dating Games, a modern relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and this week's guest is one of Ireland's freshest young comedians who has a dark and surreal humour I so enjoy. Please welcome Robbie Wilde.
Hello.
Hello.
Me.
See, that's revenge, because I said off air you weren't too loud, and you were like, we'll see about that. You wait.
I just shouted. The first thing I said to him, I shouted. Now, so, how are things, Bobby?
Yeah, having a good, chill day. Been looking forward to chatting to you. This is my first of three recordings today. And I don't normally do three back-to-back, so I will get progressively...
Busy stuff.
Either lower or higher energy through them, depending how they go.
This is the first one, isn't it?
This is the first one of my day, so yeah.
I'm
all fresh-faced. No, well, this is fine, because it's 3 p.m, so this is about when, like, the day would start for someone in comedy, yes. You know?
Yes, so absolutely. I woke up at 1 o'clock today, so, you know.
There you go.
And I just feel so sorry for your next two guests. It's like, what is wrong with Bobby? Why is he so tired?
All right. Well, before we get into any of the deep stuff that I feel like we're going to get into with you, talk to me about some top notes. What's your dating history been like in general? Any trends?
So I've been in love twice.
Okay.
Right. Everyone has that first love. We don't talk about the first love. It's too dark. But then I went through, I don't know, am I allowed to say it on here? I went through a whore phase.
Okay. Right?
I think everyone goes through that whore phase. Some people remain in the whore phase. And it's not the man whore that is, that lifestyle is usually celebrated. Mine was on the contrary. I think I went through a dark time of self-discovery because I was told by some gobshite, I can't remember who, but they said that sex was the doorway to the soul.
Okay.
And every time I opened that door, there was just a traffic cone that says, you're fucked, you're so fucked. And I was just, you know, so that was not an enjoyable time for me. But then I found love recently, and it's been going brilliant.
You say, whilst hesitating, you're like, well, where's some wood that I can quickly touch?
The thing is, like, if my wife, and I call her my wife, this is the one I'm with now, I call her my wife because I just think girlfriend is too formal. My wife, you know, she's going to be listening to this, I'm sure. And I don't, like, there's going to be, I don't even know if she does love me, to be honest. And I just be confessing all these things. She's like, what is wrong with this idiot? But no, it's brilliant. Like in terms of relationships now, everything has been pitch perfect.
That's a lovely fairy tale that you went through your whore phase. You kept trying to open doors and look for your soul and found traffic cones instead.
Oh.
And now, miraculously, the right woman's come along and everything's sorted.
Well, see, that's it. Like, I found...
Happily ever after.
Happily ever after at the age of... What am I? Jesus Christ.
22?
22. Oh, God. I used to be 16. Did you know that? I used to be... I get heartburn going upstairs at the age of 22. Like, that's just... What's wrong with me?
No, that's like my new catchphrase at the moment. Whenever just like I'm fucking something up or I'm just having like a rough day, and I'll just turn to whichever friend and be like, you know what, I've had a good run, just let take me out. Yeah. Let me go.
I mean, I don't even like articulate proper sentences anymore. I just growl. I just like some old mutt. And the thing is, you know what's great about life? It only gets worse. I'm only 22. My bones are going to start properly failing. I'm going to get a heart attack by the age of 25. It's going to get worse, and I can't be fabulous.
And what better place for this to happen than in Meath?
Exactly. In the wonderful, rich fields of Meath. There'll just be some two lovely couple, as you know, in terms of relationships. They'll be on a nice hike, and they'll just see my deceased body lying among the field of elderflowers, which is what Trim is. That's where I'm from, Trim. If you translate Trim, the Balia Aha Trim is the town of elderflowers, because we have many elderflowers.
So at least it'll be scenic.
Yeah, at least it'll be very scenic.
It'll be a picturesque end.
A literal, that beautiful landscape, a beautiful painting, there'll be a little dot of grotesque filth, and that would be my corpse, just hussed out in the middle, you know.
Oh, it'll be the most interesting thing to have happened to me in a long time. A biohazard.
Yes. Oh, you can't touch it.
That'll be a new landmark.
Here's Robbie Wilde's corpse. Don't touch it.
And so tell me, before the relationship that you're in now that allegedly has solved everything, tell me a dating story from the deep, dark past.
A dating story from the dark past?
Oh, well, or whatever so you have many. In mind.
Well, no, I have one of this one recently on how we met. That's how it's been said up. But I'll go through the big bin of dark past. There was a time that, and if my mother hears this now, I'm not going to tell her about this podcast, but she hears this, she'll beat me. She's French. But I had to have sex with a woman just because I desperately needed a shower. And I was nowhere near my house. And I was like, I need to take a shower. I smell. I have a show on. I'm going to meet up with a lot of comedians that I respect. I have to network. I am too far away. I was unorganized. This journey had fringe. And I had to take a shower. And I knew coming out of the shower, my penance would be to indulge myself in sin. But not a Catholic kind of sin, a sin against my morals. Sure, you know, something that makes me, like, I was a husk of a man, an unfeeling robot. And I notice, you know the way with your episodes, you have emojis at the end of them. Yes. I don't know if what the rules are with them, but if I'm allowed to pick one, can you give me a robot? Give me a little robot.
Sure, why not? No one's ever had a request for one. So there you go. You'll have an emoji of a robot that probably relates to nothing in the episode title. Just to draw people.
Literally, that's it. Well, yeah, if you want to put in your own commercial emoji and then mine after, it's just to represent the Tin Man that never made it to Oz. He never got his heart until he did. With when he met my you know, the love. But for a long while, I was the robot, the husk.
You are exhausting. I'm beginning to understand the disclaimer. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Honestly, get her in. Let's hear about this wife and how she's dealing with you.
Right. Well, I'll tell you how we met.
Yep,
go on. I'll tell you how we met. I think that's a great story because we met. She goes to Trinity, you see? And she's the complete opposite of me. She is very... good person. She's very just, I think, good in the sense that she goes to a proper college, she does proper work, she just does everything proper. She's not me, who is, I am the definition of filth, you know. You look at me and you think, I'm so sorry, you know, that kind of thing. With her, you think, wow. But this is how we met, right? So it was, she had, I don't know if you are aware.
Oh, half my friends have been losing their minds about the damn Trinity ball. I'm sick of hearing that.
Yeah, exactly. The terrible Trinners. But the Trinity ball was being held in the hotel of my hometown. Now, Trinity balls weren't like any other balls, right? These balls had a chastity belt. And they were tight to the brim with bouncers, full of security. I knew because of this, they were hiding something special. And it was me and my three mates. It was me, a lesbian, and a guy called Fridge. Right? Now, they don't matter, but they were just there. And we didn't belong to Trinity at all, but we wanted to be part of it. And it was just for a night. It was only for Trinity people. So our first attempt to sneak into this Trinity ball was disastrous. Shite. We tried walking through the front door, expecting to meet a friend on the inside. We had an insider. She's the one who told us about the event, actually. And we waited in the lobby for her, but we did not realize she was absolutely sloshed. So our inside man had been jeopardized. We had to abort the mission. It's just no go. Especially seeing because the reception staff at the front were taking pictures to put in their records of badass miscreants to watch out for. You know, the Polaroid folder that they probably have, full of black and white criminal legends who disturbed my hometown hotel many generations before. So we strayed out the door. And like a dog who slept in during hump day, our tails were between our legs, right? We were just saddened by the whole thing. However, now, Bobby, there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's a good few crumbs of hope at the bottom of our miserable buckets of porridge, right? The lesbian had an idea, right? A miraculous hole-in-one golden idea. We sneak around the back. Why didn't we think of this? The back, not the front. We go around the back. And I don't know if it's because they thought no one would be stupid enough to sneak around the back or they were just lazy. But to our luck, there was no guards at the back. So the vault of this wonderful heist had just been opened and the golden side was for ours to take. Now, only thing is, right, to our dismay, this gold was fool's gold. It was shite crack, basically, is what I'm saying. The DJ was the most awful thing. I used serving proper shite on a cold plate. It was disastrous music. He wouldn't play Taylor Swift. I even requested it. He wouldn't play it. I was saddened by the whole thing. The men of Trinity were asleep at their tables while their future wives were sat beside them coming to terms with how they're going to soon throw away their potential, get depressed and blame it on their future kids. You know that whole thing. And we seize the opportunity, right? Fun is always to be had, even at a funeral. You can't spell funeral without fun, right? We all know this. And I went around, this was my fun then, right? This was gets me going. I went around telling everyone my name was Victor. And I did second year law. It's not true at all. I wouldn't come close to it. And yo, wearing a lie, that gets me going. It's like wearing another man's skin. It's fantastic, you know. The lesbian,
speaking from experience.
Oh, absolutely. It's the best crack you can have. But what do you call it? The lesbian, her fun was she immediately obviously started hitting on all the girls in the room. And some of them were perplexed by her presence, as if she was an urban legend. Because Trinity girls, they've only heard about the existence of lesbians through folk stories, like, you know. Fridge, the lad called Fridge, had some love too, though, at the bar, in the form of a liquid. A mighty but deceitful vixen with the power of hypnosis, of course we all know, the alcohol was fit to destroy any man. However, upon my adventure of fun, of wearing the mask of Victor, I'd seen something I had never seen before. Now, way back, I made an analogy that this heist that we did was full of fool's gold, right? Well, she was the full diamond. She was a diamond that reflected a light so radiant, even if the blind would notice her presence. Like, you know, they'd look away. I knew whoever had sculpted this gem has had their hands cleaved off because the world does not deserve a copy of this beauty, right? Did you follow? No beauty like this. And this was rare. It was visceral and matched the energy of a star. To contain it and encase it would be too complex of a task for me. All I could do was gaze upon it. That was until the diamond in question turned and made eye contact with me. And just like that, a cosmic radiation flew out of her eyes, a tsunami of transcendence, a bright light of tranquility melted Victor's face clean off. Like, with one simple gaze, I had nothing to hide behind. She had removed every shield, every visage, the masks I would wear. She removed every thought that makes a man think this and that about himself. She saved me for what I truly was. And just like that, I knew we had to get hammered. We had to get a drink together, and that's how we met. She knew instantly as well my name was not Victor, and that I did not do second year law. She was the only one that wasn't fooled by it.
There you go. She saw through it and she still saw something there with you.
She knew.
Interesting. She knew. Who chatted to first?
I don't know, because we were both very drunk. I can't really remember. I remember, I think I seen her first and was like, oh, she's very pretty. And then I think, because we were all part of the group as well, we eventually, she was a friend of the insider. So we all kind of formed a group and then we all got talking with each other then.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Nice. And how long's it been now?
A week. No. Could you imagine? No. I think since January or February, it's around that. It's not been too long.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm aware this is an unfair question because you are a student in a student life. But as an outsider to that experience, I feel like things can move quite fast in microcosm.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, but like, no, and I've been told this now as well, that, you know, like things are moving fast and stuff. But what in life doesn't move fast? I mean, you can't say a slug or a snail because I like you see that when you're watching them, they move so slowly. But then, like, you look away for 5 minutes and they're gone. What's the deal with that? Everything in life is super fast. And, you know, I've said before that fun is always to be had. So, you know, just go with whatever. Don't take it too seriously. It's too quick. I mean, that's a common thing. You know, everyone says, life will be gone before you know it. So have fun.
So you're just trying to outrace it. You're like, we'll see about that.
Just go for it.
Having my life by 25. And the world's going to have to deal with it.
Because at least then I am in control, you know? Like, by the age of 25, I'm dead, fair enough. But I was in control for that whole mileage, that whole speeding. I am the Formula F1 car driving straight into the crowd. I'm not going to turn. I'm not going to slow down and turn. Boring. Well, full speed. We were made, those cars, I don't watch F1, but the aerodynamics of them cars that go at top speed, and then they slow down at the corner, it always pisses off. I'm like, just keep going, you know? Am I making sense, Bobby?
You are. No, I'm following you. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny to be the other side of this conversation, because this is how my mind is working all the time, is all these like analogies and ramblings. And then I kind of filter it out, and then people think I'm quite normal and calm. And I don't agree at all, but that is how I'm perceived. So it's like the opposite way around, where like I actually think you've got a lot figured out, but you talk like the inside of my brain, and everyone thinks I have it figured out.
I've learned
behind the scenes. Word recently.
Oh dear. Yeah, I get that. That's a word I've learned recently, and I suppose we can call it the word of the day. That grand I can't pronounce it for the love of me. Grandiloquence or whatever. But it basically means I am saying so much without saying anything. You know, there's just too much for the mind to comprehend.
And there, I don't know, I think there's something to be said for it. Like, I'm very bad at small talk, to the point where I just kind of out and out refuse to fuck with it at this point, where, like, you're going to have deep chats with me, or we're not going to chat at all.
That's all. Yeah, that's a good way of being.
Is it?
Yeah, because...
No. Or have I just decided, no, I won't learn this skill that everyone else seems to have learned. Everyone's going to have to fucking get on my level.
I mean, I think, because, like, you know, in that sense, you'll always be perceived as an arsehole. But why do we have to indulge ourselves in such a plastic conversation? You know, that kind of thing. The weather's fine today. Who gives a shit about the weather?
Yeah, I have all of about, like, a 3-second countdown with the weather before I lose my mind.
It's like, I know the weather is fine. We are both experiencing it at the same time, you know? It's like when you're watching a movie, and every 5 seconds during the movie, someone goes, this is a great movie, isn't it? And you're sitting there going, fuck off, I'm trying to watch the movie, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Just live it. And I do have a funny story like that, though. The other day, I was having this exact complaint with a friend of mine, and we were just really going in on people talking about the weather, believe it or not.
Yes.
And the problem was, we complained about it for too long. And before you know it, we're really getting into the complaint of like how the weather isn't even that interesting, and how you know, particularly in Ireland, there's only like 3 things the weather is doing, and often they're all on the same day anyway. So like, what's the fucking difference? A minute or two go by and we both have the realization at the same second, we're having a whole conversation about the weather. It had got to us too.
It was an oxymoron. It's a plague that just devours. Everyone has to talk about the weather.
Yeah.
And it's always the same thing as well. It's always like, oh, it's quite sunny today. We're getting good weather. It's never, look at the clouds. Look at the way their unhinged jaw wants to swallow his whole, but they can't through some cosmic field. You know, they never say shit like that, do they? No, it'd be too fucking weird. I mean, if someone did say that to me genuinely, I would say, fuck off. Yeah, you know, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You'll be like, that's my line.
Yeah, it's like, you are a hazard. Get away from me. Why are you saying things we should be thinking that by ourselves in the corners of our room, not outside? Maybe that's why we have plastic conversations, to show that we are normal, that we are... It's good to be normal every now and then.
Yeah, maybe that's a bit I don't have. I'm like, I'm not even going to begin to pretend.
No, see, I am normal. I'm the most normal person here, I think. Out of like, I'm in a
club. Well, out of me and you.
But even in the world, I think I'm the most normal in the world. Everyone else is kind of batshit. You walk through your town with a glass of milk once, and they just fucking point fingers at you. Like, well, how else am I supposed to drink milk out of the carton? No, because you don't know where the top of that carton has been. Actually, this is a story about my first love, and this was a young love. Now we were only like 15, 16 at the time. I was just watching TV at our house, and do you know what she did, Bob? She went to the fridge, opened the fridge, took out the milk, and drank it out of the carton. And I had never been so disgusted with someone that I claimed to love. And that still takes it from me. Like, they could cheat on me, they could break my heart, they can do whatever they want. But that, just drinking it, you've ruined the milk for everyone.
It's a declaration of war, yeah.
She came in and pissed on your carpet. Literally, I would rather her piss on my carpet. At least then I can fucking, you know, maybe dry clean the carpet again. I can never use that bottle of milk again. I can never have tea with that milk. I mean, it wasn't my milk to begin with, but
can't even look at the milk in the same again.
Milk is a scarcity. Like, we're going to run out soon, I'm sure. Love is all we have. Love is the only thing we can't run out of, you know? It's the one indomitable part of the human spirit.
And so, tell me, on the through line of figuring out love, I'm gonna grapple and find a segue here. Something I've heard you talk about before is learning to be yourself. And this was something you kind of got on stage because you're like, oh, as much as I come to this with my like filmmaker brain and want to be an entity, actually a lot of the time me chatting shit and doing my ramblings and being myself is what people connect to.
It's you know what, like, still to this day, it is one of the hardest things to do is be yourself. I remember I went to therapy. Everyone went to therapy as a teenager, I'm sure. But one of the reasons...
Not enough people. Yeah.
Not enough. Do you not think? I look at everyone and I'm like, Jesus Christ. Lord. Like, I just know as a teenager, they were horrible. It's like, oh, God. Maybe they didn't. They should have, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, everyone's a mess when they're a teenager. And when I was a teenager now, one of the things is like being myself. They always told me, and it's part of my set as well, they always say, oh, just be yourself. I didn't know which self to be. I had so many. And it's so hard to not put on the visage, not put on the mask. When I first started off in comedy, you know, everyone's shit when they first start off. I still kind of am, but the big problem when I started off was I put on an act. Don't want to see that. They don't want to see an act. They want to laugh with your stories, with your honesty. At least in my experience, you know, I know there is sketch artists out there like put on an act and stuff. But like, what has been successful for me and comfortable for me is just taking a step back and releasing the sludge from the abyss of my face. You know, just letting it all out, and it's therapeutic in a way, and it's a very hard thing to do. Because and I think adrenaline has a lot to do with it as well. You get excited and your brain will start subconsciously doing things. Never mind performing. You're having a conversation about the weather.
Oh, no, not again. We can't go back to it.
Yeah, we're going back to the weather. Anything. We're going to have a one-on conversation. Anyway, even the most meaningless things, your brain will subconsciously try to put on a face. At least in my life, that's what it's meant. But not as much anymore. It's a skill that you have to peel back layers.
No, I agree. And yeah, not to go any deeper with it, but I mean, that is who I am. I think there's also that male element as well, where we're encouraged to have this kind of veneer of coolness or toughness in every situation. It's an interesting point to be like a bit older now and have figured out myself a bit more, and you can't help but look at people that are younger and are still very much in the midst of that and be like,
oh,
what are these sentences? You use like three phrases for everything because they're the three that you've decided are acceptable for you and your fragile masculinity.
And we're so, like, as young people, we're so absorbent as well. Like, you know that thing, you're watching movies or something like that and boom, you want to be like the movie, you want to be like I've only recently started watching The Sopranos, and already I can feel it. There's a part of my brain that goes, yes, I'm going to treat everything as if I'm a criminal warlord or, you know, that kind of thing, a gangster. It's just, I think, you know, as young people, just absorb so much. And it's also with the brain is developing. That's why there's so many problems with a young person. Your brain is still being constructed up until the age of 18, right? That's right.
25.
Is it? 20 is a trade, but there you go. Maybe that's somehow it's still, and it's all the while it's bringing in new personalities, new layers to new mounds of gunk, cum clumps of just shite. That is the person you become with it, and you have to make use of it. You know, you have to
do your best. Yeah, and tell me then, where I was going with that segue was, how does this translate, if at all, into relationship stuff? Are you finding out who you are in a relationship in this new one?
But again, previously I said that sex was the best way to soul and learning who you are. I don't know if I still agree with that, but I've definitely changed as a person with finding love. And also, I think it was the philosopher or writer Ayn Rand, Russian philosopher, and she said, man must remove his flaws or work on his flaws, and only then may he deserve love. And I think that's part of, you know, trying to find out who you are. Because, I mean, we'll always have flaws, but that's the great thing about humans, is that, you know, I've always said to be without flaws, be without perfection. It doesn't mean that, oh, I am a shithead of a person. I'm sorry that we all have our flaws. But the fact that we have them flaws, but we constantly work on them, and that makes us better. That's why tigers don't run the world. Tigers don't look at themselves and go, I can be better. No, they just fucking bite onto the first thing. But humans want to be better. They want to work. I think it's an interesting thing as well, because this whole AI thing.
You know, I've just got AI. This visual of like tigers, of like they just need their one self-help book away from ruling the world.
Yeah, it'll all be over. I swear to God, Scientology and all that kind of self-help shit hasn't been introduced to them because they're with the Pharaohs, physically and socially. And the same is as well, but with the AI, you know, AI is, it's interesting because AI is constantly growing. You know that thing, it's constantly absorbing knowledge, becomes better. So maybe there is, we've always heard the cliche of, oh, well, the robot will never love. But what? I mean, the robot, it's still in its baby forms, you know, now, but if it can learn to better itself, surely then it can learn to love better than humans.
Yeah, and maybe that's your time. Maybe as the robot you identify as.
That's, yeah, the immortal coming.
Your day is coming.
The tin man. I mean, I've always believed in cybernetics. Like, everyone has asked me, oh, you know, what happens after you die? And I'd love for my brain to be put in a computer, just live forever. That is the dream. Why isn't it not a reality yet? I don't. But yes, it's back to the saying, if a man wants love, he should correct his flaws, and then maybe he will deserve it.
And how's that been going?
Brilliant, because I'm a flawless man.
You're like, well, that's why everything's sorted in my love life. Yes, I fixed all the flaws. I found the perfect diamond of a woman. End of episode.
Yeah, that's it. That's what you need to do.
Two steps.
Work on yourself and be better. In seriousness, though, like, last year, single, living the life, doing whatever I wanted, you know. And I can still do whatever I want. But now I'm like, well, no, let's kind of cop on. Maybe that's just maturing. I don't know if it has anything to do with love. But it's like, let's have a bit of cop on. Because I used to, back in the day, I've said it before, I used to wake up at 2 o'clock in the day and have a saucepan of jelly for breakfast with a can of Monster. And I still do that, but now I feel it. And I think that's growth, isn't it? That's becoming an adult. That's learning how to love.
Is that growth or is that Catholicism?
Guilt. There's a lot of guilt in Catholicism. That's very true. Because I'm biblical. I do be biblical. Not religious, but biblical. But I mean, that's love, I think, is learning. You know, you're sitting across the kitchen table with your future wife or husband, and you are still filthy when you were young. But now you feel a little. It's like, oh, I am a bit of a dickhead, and your wife will agree, and then you get on with your day, and that's marriage. That's perfect. You know, that's what it is, baby.
Oh no, and you know what? I think there is actually something so beautiful about that. When people get to the stage of a relationship where they can lovingly hate each other. And I don't mean this shit is on the rocks. I mean that things where, you know, you'll do that same annoying thing you do every day. You'll get a glare off them. But there's love behind it.
Like, humans are so complex. As much as we love to predict people, and because humans love connecting dots and all that shit, that's, you know, that's how it is. But like, humans and love is chaotic. That's fundamentally, love is chaos. Zizek has always believed that love is evil and destructive, but that's another thing altogether. But the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, the woman and the man kind of hating each other, but It's because our individually, we are so complex. Like, it is hard enough to deal with yourself as a human being with neurons and thoughts. Now you have to deal with another person, a whole new intelligence, a whole new consciousness. And God forbid, years down the line, you'll have to deal with a few little ones, mini ones, children. That's, and of course, there will be hatred. There will be, like, you're merging with someone else there. You're becoming a hive mind. And, like, if you, I don't know if you've ever seen wasps or bees, but they do, like, although they're working together.
I've seen them. Like, mm-hmm.
They look like they hate each other. They all look like, or ants. Ever see ants? They all work in unison as the hive mind, but you just know they're all fucking like the ant in front of me. I hate him. He's got this big fucking head on him. And the ant behind me, oh, I hate him even more. He keeps speeding up. That kind of, you know, you become one and you become a horrid monster. Frankenstein. Frankenstein is the perfect example of love. He was a combination of many people brought together as one, and he was a monster who didn't even know how to love. So they set him on fire, the bastards, you know?
Yeah. And Frankenstein wasn't even his name. People don't even remember his name.
Frankenstein's monster, yes.
And maybe this is what we're learning here. Maybe there's something so intriguing about that kind of love-hate shit. Because maybe it's relatable. Maybe aspirational. Maybe it's correct. Because it's tough enough to love yourself. So that person that knows you better than anyone else, turning to you with violence in their eyes...
Yeah.
I can understand it.
And that's why I despise my loved ones. Never mind. Like, it is like love as in friendships as well. This is why I despise them, because they know me. They know who I am. And that irritates me, because they know how much of a dickhead I am. They know I can be trusted with this and can't be trusted with that. And that, it's the same vice versa as well. I know. And I think part of maturing, and actually my wife, she disagrees with this now. But I thought part of the term, this is just, is that you have this inner circle of people you love, you absolutely adore, you will do anything for them. It's almost as if everything you do in life is for them because of the love you have for them. But you do not like them. That's just the way it is. You love them, but you can't like them, and you're stuck with them. That's because you don't make friends as an adult. Who makes friends? Only losers make friends as adults. You know, you're stuck with what you have from a child. And then that's it for life. And that's why we're so miserable. I mean, like, you know, that's, you know, elderly people. It's always such a...
Well, if that isn't like male friend-making 101, where you have your six guys and you don't know how you came across them, but you're stuck with them now.
Yeah. It's my boys with a Z, as I call them, my pure toxic masculinity. I despise every single one of them. They drive me crazy. And
there's a danger in that. Because one of them could kill somebody, and you'd be like, well, you know, Fred, he's a bit of a one. He's always been a bit like that.
And I'm pretty sure one of them might have already killed the person. I don't know. They have that look in their eyes. I know there's something mysterious about them, you know. But I love them. I have to love them. That's just the way I am. I have to love them. They're pricks, but that's just... And they think the same of me, but I'm not a prick. I'm perfect. I'm without flaw. And I think... But love, I mean, that's a different kind of love. Now, that's love between friends. I think, but a love with a person that you want to like share a home with, that's first of all a very rare thing, I think. You know, that's why you got to be careful with who you settle down with, and it's a completely different alien thing almost. And there's been scientists, these egghead fuckers, that try to measure it, try to say, oh, you know, love is just chemistry inside the brain, it's chemicals that make us want to procreate, and it's just completely false, I think. I think love is it's almost, never mind scientific, I think love is more of a business. It's almost transactional. I swear to God. Every business has its own terms and currency. And love's currency is virtue. And in that way, love is only transactional. And it's because Zizek as well, he says that in an individualistic society, which is a society we live in now, where everyone is, you know, in their own cage, they're afraid of this love. To turn yourself into commodity, the agalma, which I've learned there the other day. I don't know, Plato said the agalma is what makes a human worthy of anything. It's kind of like the soul, but less biblical. And it's in an increasingly individualistic society, this is what Zizek says, increasing individualistic society, we are afraid to love. And why wouldn't we be? Love is the most, like, we're in a controlling kind of world now, and you can call love.
Yeah, it's beautiful and it's terrifying. And on that note, let's nudge on to our rules of the game. So now you have all the answers in this great relationship. Tell us what we should all be living by. How do we find someone of our own and decide that they are our wife?
Well, I've kind of hit on it already. Well, one of the things is, first of all, work on yourself. And it's such a cliche thing. Work on yourself, work on your flaws, and then maybe you decide. If you do not love yourself, how on earth are you to love another person? And it doesn't mean...
And that was the great philosopher, RuPaul.
Yeah, it is. I didn't even know that. I love RuPaul's Drag Race, but I knew that. But that just to love yourself doesn't mean to be a prideful arsehole as much as I am. If you're going to hell, you might as well go for a sort of pride, okay? But, greed, really, I think. Or gluttonous. Everyone loves food. Why is it so... anyways, that's just me getting geological again. But just work on yourself. Be the person you would want to love. And it's funny because I am the person I would want to love, yet I believe my wife is the opposite. And that's not to say that opposites attract me, because you could have a person spending a load of money and a person who loves to save money, they will never work. Or it might.
Because it is all a business.
Chaotic. You can't predict. Humans love to predict, but they can't.
You know what? I think the perfect guest for this podcast, because your approach is there's a rule for everything, but also everything's off the table. We might die tomorrow. Absolutely. Who gives a fuck?
Yes. I am just after saying a load of shite, a load of rules, maybe, as if love was mathematical, as if it was formulaic, but it's not. It's unpredictable. So what I just said, what the advice I just gave to the audience there, they might take it and they might ruin their lives, but don't hold me accountable. But that's just because love is unpredictable. But it's
a beautiful disclaimer. Blame love.
Yeah, blame love. It's love that did it. That's absolutely 100%. I mean, that's why I got broken up with years ago. It wasn't because I had any flaws. It was because love. Because
you loved them too much.
And you know what? It's actually, now that is true. You can love someone too much. Or it's because if you love someone too much, it's no longer love. It's now an obsession. And that's a very dangerous thing altogether. But I think it was Jean Le Carré. I can't pronounce his name. Jean Le Carré. He's actually an Irish-English kind of Frenchman. But he said the ultimate proof of love, to see that there is love, the ultimate proof of love is betrayal. And I don't know if I agree with that, but I thought that was very interesting.
Well, that's very French, if anything, of his
ethnicity. It is, but I think he was Anglo-Irish. I could be wrong about that. But it is a very depressing thing. And when you look at all these philosophers, great minds that try to decipher love, again, as if it is a formula, they always get upset and just write the most depressing thing. You can't decipher love. It is like life. There's too much of it. There's too much love. There's too much life to really nail down, to write it down once. There's cliches and tropes, sure, but love is a star.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's one of these things, like a star, you look at it too long, analyze it too much, you only go blind.
You will, and you'll realize that love in itself, as Freud would say, it is twisted and pervert. So it's best to have a glance at love every now and again. Well, that's very nice. But if you keep looking at the stars, you'll start, that feeling you get.
And that's a happy marriage right there. Just look at love occasionally. That'll keep you going. That's the kind of the rationing behavior of emotions that we are conditioned to have as Irish people. And on that note, I am going to insert my rule of the game. And that is that, among all this chaos, which is love, maybe find the things that you want. So for me, I know one of them is having somebody that knows me enough that they can both hate me and love me about the right things, where they can point out a stupid thing I do all the time and I can be like, oh yeah, it's a problem. I agree.
And sometimes they could even help you, if they love you for your perks, and they might even help you for your flaws, As nice as it is to have a carer, you don't want them becoming your babysitter or such.
Yeah, that's not the relationship I'm looking for, but I'm sure.
No, it's not. No, I get the relationship you're going for. Actually, I didn't ask, Bobby. Are you in a relationship?
I'm not. I love that you're asking this right as we're trying to wrap up the episode. You're like, no, we're not done. We've both agreed that we shouldn't overanalyze love, but we do need 4 more hours of analyzing it. I'm not. So I'm more happily single than I've ever been at the moment. And that both confuses and at times frustrates people that follow this podcast, where they're like, where is your new content? Can you not just go out and have an awful date, please? But no, I'm feeling like I'm in a good place. And for me right now, I love to hear about other people's relationships. I love to go back to my like schoolboy bullshit and like fall in love with people on the bus and then forget about them forever.
Yeah.
I love to meet couples in my life who have a really great relationship and fall in love with their love. And then just, you know, have to remind myself of like, you know, there's a pretty small minority of couples that are looking for a third. Let's not say anything to them. Let them be happy and be in their orbit. No, it's a fun time. Although I have been invited to 2 threesomes by friends recently. So I guess if there were a relationship status, I guess I'm a third for hire.
Yeah, well, threesomes are, I've never been in one, so I don't know if I like the idea. There's too many people, I think.
No, I don't have nearly enough experience on this kind of stuff that people believe. It's one of those where, like you, I'm very thoughtsy. And so I've thought out every scenario. That doesn't mean I've been in as many of them as people think, you know. It's a veneer of knowledge that we have here.
I don't think much about it. But then I think about it, I feel like, well, just for me, it is only me. You know, dealing with one person is difficult enough. Having to deal with all these other limbs and bits and bobs, it's too much work. I get confused of whose flesh belongs to who. Not to be weird, but, you know, like, what am I grabbing here? Who's grabbing me?
You bite an arm and it's just yours, and it's very disappointing.
Yeah. You feel a dog. It's like, what the fuck is the dog here? All this kind of shit.
Data Games does not endorse bestiality. And on that note, let's wrap up there. If people want to find you online, you do loads of funny little skits. Some of them are on stage. Some of them are, you know, beautifully existential little drawings. There's all sorts.
Oh, thank you. They're good fun. I like them. I love doing that on the relationship. Yes.
Tell us your plugs. Where are we going? That's your problem.
Oh, sorry.
Fucking, I know you're newer to this comedy stuff, but
yeah.
you have to sell yourself whether you're prompted to or not.
Yeah, sorry. Robbie Wilde 0, because I think Robbie Wilde 1 was already taken. But Robbie Wilde 0 is where you'll find me on TikToks and the Instagram. And
there you go, because you're not like the other girls. You couldn't have gone for 2.
Oh, I only got for 2. I only got TikTok in the last year. I can't go for Facebook. What's the other one? I'm on Be Real, but that's only for like my 3 friends. You know Be Real?
Mm-hmm.
Gas crack. You get a picture every day, and it's fantastic because then you can look.
I found out the other day that Be Real is French, and I don't know why that blew my mind.
Oh, really? Oh.
Now it feels very chic to me. My whole perspective has changed.
Yes, actually. Yeah. Because, I mean, my Be Real is just pure filth. Like, it is. And you can, it's almost like a time lapse. You can slowly, a stop motion film of me getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, the end is near. As is the end of this podcast.
Yes.
Thank you so much. You're a delight.
No, thank you, Bobby. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damaged by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there. How was that for you?
That was fantastic, I thought. I got so many words out of my mouth, and I have no idea what they meant, but I am happy that they were.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.